to Cybertron!
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is your host, Brian Kilby, wanting to remind you, out of the thousands upon thousands of radio programs out there, we are one of them. Coming up on today's show, as usual, will be John DeLuna's ATT Buzz, stuff from Turin, his usual stuff. We'll also have trivia and Goldemus Prime's toy review, which is Buzzsaw, I think. Buzzsaw. Also, we'll have some information about Radio Free Cybertron and our big surprise, which actually should be on next week's show. But we'll start out this week, as usual, like we always do, with John DeLuna's ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and contrary to popular belief, the ATT News Group is alive. Thanks to Toy Fair, and thanks to Hasbro, man, who put a ton of Transformers on display at Toy Fair this week. And the one thing that really did pop out in my mind are the repaints. I mean, the sheer number, which is at least going to be 11 this year, of Transmetal repaints and Beast Machine repaints already overpowered just everything else. I mean, I do like the idea of repaints. They do two things at once. First, they give kids and people who like the show a second chance at toys that they missed, you know, and a chance to pick up their favorite characters. And it gives collectors something else to hunt for, something else to add to their collection. But geez, I mean, 11 repaints so far. And we're probably going to get more at the end of this year because they're already going to repaint Jetstorm. And I'm sure there are some places out there who still haven't even gotten the first version of Jetstorm. Not only that, but we're going to have to pay, what, like an average of $10 a piece for toys that we've already seen come out. And these have hideous paint jobs. So $10 a piece is asking quite a lot, let alone $30 a piece for repainted Optimi. Actually, Figures.com says it's going to be $24.99 for the redone Optimal Optimus. But still, you know, it's a risky proposition, and I think Hasbro Man realizes that too, because not only is Optimal Optimus a repaint, he's actually more. He's actually, instead of a Beast Wars character, he's a totally new Beast Machine character named Primal Prime. And that name scares me, because it kind of hints, I haven't seen his tech spec, but I would think that that kind of hints that it has something to do with Optimus Prime, especially when you look at his color scheme. It looks a lot like Optimus Prime. And for that reason alone, I kind of hope that we never see this guy on the cartoon show. Actually, wait a minute, let me take that back. If, and that's a big if they can get a story for Primal Prime without any mention or any involvement of Optimus Prime, I'd actually be in favor of having him on the show. Just for the simple reason, I'm kind of curious to see what he'd look like. Because Mainframe has all this leeway now, and Beast Machines is animated totally different than Beast Wars. It'd be kind of interesting to see what they do with the Optimal Optimus mold, that toy, just to see how different it would look. And to see what the character would actually be like. Maybe it would be Optimus Primal in a new form, at least for the second season, and maybe not. And other than Toy Fair news, you know, the news group was pretty much bare. And who can you blame? All this new toys has everybody talking, and they'll probably be talking for weeks and weeks. So, until next week, that's the ATT Buzz, and I'm John DeLuna.
And thank you, John. That was great, as usual. We appreciate it. I guess now is as good a time as any to talk about the stuff that we're working on here with Radio Free Cybertron. First off, our big surprise. can tell you this. It's a special guest. Yes, we'll have a special interview next week. The person will be announced on alt.toys.transformers, probably the Matrix TF on Yahoo. The Axelon Underground, if a few of my friends will mention that for me. And basically anywhere else, probably rec.toys.transformers.moderated as well. This will be pretty big, and we'll announce who the interview is probably on Wednesday. Let's see here. Also, we're working on a Transformers the Movie parody. This is something that we've had planned for a while. We wanted to do a serial fan fiction type thing, sort of like the old Superman stories from the movies. Or, must think of another serial, Zorro. Yes. Something on the range of that. Of course, this is a parody of Transformers the Movie, much like what Zybivore submitted a few weeks ago, the outtake. If you had something that you would like to help add to that, perhaps a scene or something you want to write or you have thought up that you think might be good to add to it, you can email me at kilby316@abts.net. Also on the page, we have finally added the RFC message board. That's especially for feedback, or if you want to correspond with the other listeners. Also, that can be used for trivia, and we'll go into that in a little while. But first, before we go to Turin, I want to mention the first annual Transformers Memorial Day, which will be celebrated on March 1st, 2000, will be at the Yahoo Club, the Matrix TF. What you do, you go there. And you sign up to the club if you're not already a member, and you basically will post a eulogy of your favorite Transformer on March 1st. And basically that's it. You can reach the club at http://clubs.yahoo.com/clubs/TheMatrixTF. And of course that URL will be listed on the webpage. Now coming up is the man with the plan, the master of disaster, Turin himself.
Thanks, Brian, for the introduction, I guess. I have several Transformers-related things to discuss today, but let me start out, and this is actually on topic, let me start out with my trip to the dentist. As usual, they did their various tortures. And of course they do the x-ray, which they tell you is perfectly safe, and then they run out of the room. But when they were finished with most of their torture, somebody handed the hygienist one of the most evil-looking dental implements I have ever seen. It had a black handle, a silver cylinder coming out of the handle, and then on the top had a very tiny, thin sort of spike coming out at an angle. And it had a monstrous power cord coming off the bottom. And I said, what in the world is that? And they said, this is the Cavatron. And they said it like that. They said it all dramatic. This is the Cavatron. And I said, the Cavatron? And of course I immediately figured that this was one of Megatron's great weapons that he didn't quite manage to conquer the world with. Of course, I think if he had had this, he would have conquered the world, because the thing was evil, I'm telling you. I says, I'm going to hate this, aren't I? And they assured me that it wouldn't be a problem, and then, of course, they proceeded to put it between my teeth and vigorously run it back and forth, causing extreme discomfort. And as a result of the Cavatron, I decided to give myself a treat. Instead of going home back to work, I went to the mall and went to the store Hot Topic, which I had heard sells t-shirts with Transformers-related writing. And sure enough, amazingly, I found a shirt with Optimus Prime's box art on it, which I kind of liked but wasn't really in the mood for. I found one with Megatron's box art, which is a little puzzling because I really can't imagine too many people wanting to walk around with Megatron's trigger assembly prominently displayed on their chest. Nevertheless, apparently, some people sort of run that way. They also had the rear box art from the 1984 line. That's the one where Optimus Prime has the Autobot symbol on his hand. which was sort of fake. But then they had Soundwave's Outline, and I'm probably going to go back and get that one later on. But what I really wanted was the black t-shirt with the Decepticon symbol on the chest. And they had one with the Autobot symbol, and after thinking, I decided to go with the Decepticon one, because even though I find their morals reprehensible, their faction symbol is just a whole lot cooler. Not fair, but that's the way it is. So I call somebody over to help me, and the people at Hot Topic, at least in at least on the peninsula, are incredibly into self-mutilation, because this woman had her throat pierced, which I had never seen before because I spend most of my time under a rock, but she had her throat pierced, had two spikes going through her throat. I don't get it. It's just not my thing. And she says, "You want the other one too?" Pointing to the Autobot symbol, and I says, "Oh, why not? Because I like to alternate between good and evil, depending on the phase of the moon," and she found that amusing. But I didn't find the throat thing at all attractive. Sorry. She would have been cute otherwise. So I rang that up, and I'm wearing the Decepticon shirt right now, and it's pretty cool. So if anybody has a Hot Topic near them, I would recommend going and getting the shirt with the Decepticon symbol or the Autobot symbol. I went ahead and got both. Take your pick. They also had one, I believe, that just said Transformers in writing. I believe they had one like that. And on the way home, I decided to stop at Toys R Us and take a look around just to see if by any chance they had the Fox Kids repaints of Transmetal Tarantulas and Transmetal Cheetor. And lo and behold, they did. I was quite amazed. So I snapped them up and ran home. And that brings us to a new segment for Radio Free Cybertron called Turin's Quick Review, wherein I will briefly review a toy or a couple of toys and give them my very own rating. Now, I don't rate stuff with an ABCD junk because I don't find it all that helpful, and I don't rate stuff with numbers because we're talking about emotional decisions here, and the quantifying with numbers just doesn't really work for me. So I've come up with some descriptive ratings for Transformers toys. And the rating categories are from best to worst. They are as follows. The best rating for a Transformers toy is awesome. Next we have very nice, followed by nice, followed by decent. And then it sort of starts to go downhill. We have eh, followed by no, followed by followed by Optimus Minor. Now today on Turin's Quick Review, the reviews aren't going to be all that quick, as a matter of fact, because these are relatively new toys. The Fox Kids repaint of Transmetal Cheetor and Transmetal Tarantulas. We'll do Cheetor first. The Fox Kids repaint of Transmetal Cheetor in Beast Mode is maroon and gold and dark, dark green. And the Beast Mode gets a rating of nice. It's a very nice Beast Mode. The colors, I mean, I like the Beast Mode. The colors are nice, but they're not thrilling. Robot Mode, on the other hand, is a whole different story. In Robot Mode, the red and the dark, dark green really set each other off. The parts that are yellow on the original Transmetal Cheetor are silver here. His chest plate is maroon and silver mixed together. And what I've done is the beast forelegs that normally hang off his backpack, I have rotated them so that they are horizontal, so that his kneecaps folded over face forward, and it looks like he has shoulder cannons. Cheetor's robot head has blue eyes and blue teeth. This makes him look extremely ticked off. And together with that and the maroon and silver, I have decided to dub Fox Kids' repaint of Transmetal Cheetor Steroid Cheetor. That is henceforth the name. It will also be called Roid Rage Cheetor because he looks seriously peeved. The robot mode gets a rating of very nice. Overall, this toy is very nice, and I recommend it, even if you have the original Transmetal cheat door, I recommend the repaint. Moving on, we have the repaint of Transmetal Tarantulas. We'll do the robot mode first. The robot mode is mostly black and silver. The feet in robot mode are metallic silver. The rest of the silver is just silver plastic. He also has some green highlights. His beast mode eyes are green, and he has a green stripe on his chest plate. Because of the black and silver and the centralized green, this toy has been called Formal Wear Tarantulas. And I'm sorry, I apologize, I do not remember who first called him that. It was on ATT, but whoever said it hit the nail on the head. And I was against it. It sounded dumb to me before I got the toy. I am sitting here with Formal Wear Tarantulas right in front of me, and I'm telling you the name is perfect. The robot mode gets a rating of nice. I like it, but it's not super great. I mean, the juxtaposition between the silver and the black doesn't quite do it for me. It's interesting, but it doesn't quite have the cool look that I think Tarantula should have. The beast mode, on the other hand, the beast mode gets a rating of awesome, which is the highest rating on Turin's Quick Review, because Formal Wear Tarantulas has an awesome beast mode. His pedipalps, which are his feet in the robot mode, are metallic silver, and I've always preferred silver to gold. His beast abdomen is metallic silver as well, with a few red highlights, and the rest of him is black, jet black, which I adore. Formal Wear Tarantulas has an awesome beast mode. If anybody out there can get him, I absolutely recommend this toy, even if you already have the original Transmetal Tarantulas. Now, I'm going to say one other thing, which is a spoiler for the last three episodes of Beast Wars. If you have not seen the last three episodes of Beast Wars and do not wish to be spoiled, go ahead and fast forward a little, or mute the sound or something for the next 60 seconds, because I'm going to talk about the last three episodes of Beast Wars. All right? You've been warned. Now, as we're aware, in the third to last episode of Beast Wars, Other Victories, Tarantulas was experimenting on Tiger Hawk, trying to remove the Vok influence. He released a Vok, apparently, which killed him. Now, because Tarantulas' death was so unique, I submit that he's not permanently gone. I propose that we agree, at least in a sort of a fan fiction-y type sense, that the Vok influence merged with his spark, producing undead Tarantulas. That's right. In robot mode especially, what is otherwise known as Formal Wear Tarantulas looks remarkably like a ghost, like Tarantulas would look if he were a ghost. I propose that that we refer to him as undead Tarantulas. And in fact, if anybody wants to go to the Beast Wars non-show character site and submit an entry, you can always submit an entry for some sort, because he's dead and he's not coming back, and because he died in such a unique way, I feel that if we want to give an entry which explains the Fox Kids repaint, either as Formal Wear or as undead, I think we could do that. If anybody wants to go, URL is knowledge.org/NSCS, and the NSCS is in uppercase. Undead Tarantulas or Formal Wear Tarantulas. Either way, I heartily recommend this toy. Now, what we have next is this week's top 8 list. What we have is the top 8 reasons for Hasbro's decisions on the future of the Transformers line. These are the reasons they have for the decisions they make. Number 8, money. Number 7, money. Number 6, money. Number 5, money. Number 4, money. Number 3, money. Number 2 is money. And the number 1 reason for the decisions that Hasbro makes on the future of the Transformers line is money. Up next, we have the news from Cybertron.
News from Cybertron.
Charges of corruption have been voiced against the Cybertron Concessions Corporation, which is the organizer for most of Cybertron's conventions and pageants. In a stunning upset, the winner of this year's Skylynx Lookalike contest went to Astrotain and Razorclaw, who entered together. Second place went to Skylynx, who is planning on suing, according to his agent. Ramjet, Dirge, and Thrust stand accused of grand theft, specifically of the Energon reserves on level 26. They were found at the scene, messily consuming mass quantities of liquid Energon. Because they're coneheads, you see. And finally, Ironhide announced in a press conference today that he has contracted Alzheimer's disease. He was in a rather tearful and vulnerable state, and our hearts go out to him. This, of course, marks the 43rd time this year that he has made that announcement. And that's the news. Well, that's all the time that I have on this week's show. We'll be returning you to Brian Kilby in just a moment. First, hey, did you guys know that tomorrow, Saturday, February 19th, it will mark 1 year of my internet presence in the Transformers community? It was 1 year ago, on the 19th, that I posted my first message to Alt Toys Transformers. It was titled Transformers Renaissance. My, how the time flies. Well, it's a milestone in my life. What can I say? We now welcome back Brian Kilby, and I must honestly say that he is the finest DJ named Brian Kilby that I've ever met. Back to you, Brian.
And thank you, Taryn. I'm touched. Really. Okay. Coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron is Goldmus Prime and his review of Buzzsaw.
I was initially apprehensive about buying Buzzsaw. After hearing several bad reports about him, I nearly decided to not buy him at all. I am actually glad I did buy him. He's a very neat little toy, actually. Buzzsaw's Beast Mode is a very nice-looking wasp. The only part that's not good about it is the spring connecting the body to the stinger. I'll go into more detail on that later. Buzzsaw is predominantly yellow, with some green patches on his back and green and black legs. He also has black on his head, masking the eyes. Scavenger's transformation also facilitates extra articulation in beast mode with six joints just in the wings alone, and a couple of usable joints in the head. He can look side to side and up and down a bit. His legs have no articulation to speak of. The upside to that is that he can actually support his own weight. Scavenger's transformation is quite fun, actually. You move the beast head to the other side of the body to make the chest and robot head, and from there you just unfold the limbs. Very simple, but still a very fun transformation. The best word I can come up with to describe Buzzsaw's robot mode is Kibblemaster. He has parts hanging off of him that the designers couldn't find to go anywhere else, including a stinger for a left arm, a half a real arm, and two bug legs for a right arm, and four legs hanging off his back. His beast wings become his robot legs. The stinger can be opened up and used as a claw, which I suppose is better than nothing. It would also seem that the function of the leg hand was supposed to be claw-like, even though there's no articulation to support that function. The robot mode is nowhere near as nice as the beast mode, but it still has some kind of attracting quality to it. Buzzsaw's sole gimmick is the stinger action, part of which is the spring I mentioned earlier. It's pretty simple, actually. Fold the stinger down so it's pointing to the ground and slightly in front of him, and then pull back on it and let it go. His stinger will swing back to its original position and, you know, a little farther, making it look like the way a real wasp would sting at something. The gimmick is not so bad. I would have preferred it more if they could have hidden the spring somehow, as it detracts from the look of both modes. Buzzsaw's Beast Mode is very nice and fairly accurate to what a real wasp would look like, especially if it had been reformatted. For the fact it can hold itself up, all the articulation in the wings, and just the relative coolness of the Beast Mode, I give it an 8 out of 10. Buzzsaw's Robot Mode, while nice, is, as I said before, a kibble master. The spring for the left arm really hurts the play value of the toy, as does the right leg arm. Robot Mode gets 5 out of 10. Buzzsaw's gimmick, or I should say gimmick, is fairly nice. I give it 6 out of 10, just for the innovation of it. Overall, Buzzsaw is a very nice toy. Buy it if you're a completist or a coolist like I am. His overall rating is 8 out of 10, just for the Beast Mode alone. If you'd like to read a more in-depth review of this and many other Beast Wars and Beast Machines toys, visit my website at http://goldemus.freeservers.com. And while you're there, sign the guest book and tell me you heard me on Radio Free Cybertron. This is Goldemus Prime with the Radio Free Cybertron Toy Review.
Thanks, Goldie. Ooh, let's see here. Coming up on Radio Free Cybertron now, last off, is trivia. And the people who got trivia last week, which was the Return of Optimus Prime Part 1, was nobody. Nobody got it. I don't know. I'm going to make it easier this week, just in case you all didn't get it. You know the drill. If you know the episode from which this comes, you can email me at kilby316@abts.net. Better yet. Post it on the new listener feedback forum, which you can see it there. It's listed on the left column. And if you know the episode from which this comes, just submit it there.
Look! It isn't even dented! Oh,
whoops! Maybe not. Let's not, no. Instead of doing that this week, how about we have a question? Something from Zabavor. If you know the answer to the question, you can just post it on the feedback forum there. And the question is, which cartoon episode has a Lord Alfred Tennyson reference? Simple as that. If you know the answer to the question, just leave it there on the feedback forum web thing. Yes. Well, let me see here. Looking at the log, that's it. That's it for this week. It's amazing how quickly these things go. Don't forget, next week there is a big surprise. You'll find out what it is, hopefully Wednesday. And I suppose for Radio Free Cybertron and for everyone out there, we thank you. And don't forget to tune in next week when we have the big surprise.
And the masters of the universe, I am Adam.
Prince of Eternia, defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
"By the power of Grayskull, Cringer became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.